Welcome to Multifamily AP 360, the show where we discuss 360-degree views on mindset, passive, and active multifamily investment. If you're looking for tips and strategies, or just want to learn from the experiences of others, both good and bad, then listen on. This is Multifamily AP 360 with your host, Ramakrishna Chinchu.
Welcome to another episode of Multifamily AP 360. And today's our guest is Raj Sarangam from ORP Investments. Welcome, Raj.
Thank you, Rama. Thank you for the invitation and doing a great job.
Sure. And a little bit about Raj. Raj founded ORP Investments and has become a thriving and highly focused real estate investment firm with a proven track record of success. With its focus on Texas and Florida, ORP Investments has gained extensive expertise in various real estate assets, such as retail, single-family rentals, and self-storage. Executed over 40 lucrative real estate deals, Raj Reportaire encompasses various properties comprising over 40 single-family residences, two shopping centers, and more than 10 multifamily apartment complexes in Texas and Florida. Raj raised funds for both IT and real estate investments, going from $0 to $215 million in assets under management in 3 to 5 years. So with that, Raj, you want to add anything to your background?
Yes, like most of us, we are all technocrats, right? So or have W-2 initially, right? And then we pivoted to something where you can make generational wealth, right? So 2008 was my epiphany moment where Eureka moment, should I say. The stock market may not be the way to go. We need to diversify a little bit. So that's how I got into real estate. Started doing single family. I still own single family rentals. And then shopping centers. Started buying shopping centers to scale up. And then got into this mentoring programs and other syndication programs. Before, I was just doing it with my partners. Started syndication 5 years ago.
So what makes you move towards multifamily?
Many reasons. The three asset classes I invested in, which is single family, retail, and then multifamily. One of the compelling reasons is people need place to stay, right? Of course, I never anticipated COVID would happen, right? Where the country is shut down. So I did not anticipate that, right? So for retail, you know, businesses thrive if people go to those retail centers, whether it is shopping centers or any kind of retail like Starbucks or whatever, right? So they go if the country is able to operate, right? So, and then most of the loans, unless you do a CMBS loans or recourse in all the sectors like single family, shopping centers, and so on and so forth. So that's another advantage. One, people need place to stay. So there will always be demand, especially if you look at, you know, Texas, where the net migration is positive. So people need place to stay. So that's number one. Number two is a non-recourse factor. And third thing is, of course, it's true with single family as well, which is that leases are for 1 year. So you can adjust based on your inflation, your leases. The next year, you know, you can adjust rent hikes or whatever based on the inflation, right? So you can keep up with the inflation as well. Those are the things. But of course, in single family, you can do that too because you have a lease for 1 year. But the only difference is it takes a lot of effort to accumulate a lot of single family homes. I'm not a proponent or opponent of any asset class. It's just that this fits the multifamily, fits the bill for me.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. So far, how many deals guys went full cycle and how many deals you are currently managing?
So we went full cycle, four of them. I had gone full cycle in, we bought a property in 2012 and 2014. Of course, that's not a syndicated model. It's a partnership model. Back then, you know, we bought it at 35 a door. Imagine that. And we got $1 million right after 1 year of acquisition. We thought we got a home run. Imagine holding on to that property this today, right? So we thought, okay, oh boy, we put in X amount and we got, you know, we're almost doubling our money in 1 year, let's sell it. So real did we know that now the base price is like 100K. I mean, you can't even build anything for 100K anymore. So that was a good deal. And then I bought a property in Florida. Of course, Florida was market was hot. 2019 was when it was closed. A year later, it doubled. So we had to, again, sell it and exit that market as well. After that, I looked for many deals in Florida, but I couldn't close. And then two in Houston again, two more in Houston after that. So right now we have six deals currently managing.
Yeah, got it. Thank you. So what are some lessons learned from, you know, going full cycle? What are some challenges you faced during that operations of those four properties? And how exactly you guys overcome challenges?
If you're new to this, right, one of the things you want to look at is delinquency. Delinquency is key to our operations. Like, we would like to keep delinquency really, really low and occupancy high, right? So just look at when you are researching the numbers, especially buying it from the, you know, look at those things where how the collections are going. Not just look at the physical occupancy, look at economic occupancy, things like that. So for acquisition part, for running it, just keep the tenants happy, right? The more amenities you provide, the less likely they're going to leave. And also with the amenities, like, for example, a lot of people take over the property and start raising because, hey, the market value is here, I'm going to raise the rent, right? That strategy might work if the demand is very, very high. If you're going to increase rent, provide services along with it, right? So, hey, I'm giving you XYZ amenities. So hence, I'm raising the rents rather than saying, hey, market rents is here, you're paying this. Now you need to pay this, right? That strategy, always believe in giving value to our customers, who are our tenants, basically.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, especially in the current market. Lot of supply is coming in good number of markets. So wherever there is a lot of supply, most of the operators, they're trying to, you know, increase the occupancy, you know, instead of, you know, going for higher rents. So that is the key, like by providing different kinds of amenities or different kinds of values or community programs or community, you know, bonding kind of stuff, right? So yeah, definitely that will help, you know, increase the occupancy in the property. Thank you for sharing that.
One of the things we have done, Rama, is that tenant engagement, right? Whether it'll be small things like to-go breakfast, tacos to-go, or something small. It doesn't require you to spend a lot of money, but goes a long ways that you're sharing with your tenants that you care for them, right? So things like that. So you care for them and their family, things like that. If, for example, one of the properties, we had gone in and put a security gate. Small things like that, putting a security gate around the property, that gives so much value to the tenant. Rather, you just leave it open, right? So they're always worried about their car being stolen or things from their cars are being stolen, things like that. So yeah, provide a value to your tenants and they'll stick with you.
Thank you for sharing that. So what is in the market in last maybe 12 to 24 months?
Last 12 to 24 months, we have seen interest rates, unprecedented increase in interest rate in the US history, right? So the market has been sideways, meaning the buyers have kind of vanished, so to speak, right? Unless it's a really good deal, right? Everybody's looking for that bed block and buying pennies on a dollar. That's what everybody's wanting to do. Federal government also... Federal Reserve has the guidelines as well, especially for those who are in distress, saying that, hey, you know, work it out with your lender, try to adjust your mortgage payments or whatever, modify your loans, things like that. So there are a lot of properties which are struggling, and the newer properties are also coming on board, right? Last 12 to 24 months, people, you know, as the economy is not doing as good, people losing jobs means higher the delinquency, so fighting the delinquency, so things like that. So as long as you stay on top of all these things, keep the occupancy high. When I say occupancy, I mean physical occupancy as high as possible. Try to operate, try to get through this 2024, and hopefully the rent increases will start coming back up. The biggest thing I've seen in 12 to 24 months is rent increases, even in cities like Phoenix, where it's a red hot market, right? So Net migration is very high. Even then, we have seen rental growth, negative rental growth. And it's slowly coming to zero, hopefully in few months or so, when if we're anticipating 3 to 6 times rate cuts this year, hopefully that happens. If that happens, coupled with the rent increases, or at least zero rent, if not negative growth, right? So if it is maintained, things will start turning back around.
So from operations or asset management point of view, so what actions or what creative ways you guys, creative ideas implemented to increase like revenue or decreasing expenses or controlling expenses and increase overall net operating income?
In terms of income, right, the only thing we could have done is, because we want to keep the occupancy as high as possible, the only thing we could have done is add amenities to increase the rent. I am more proponent of retention of every tenant, especially when the lease is coming up, unless they're leaving to another state, another, you know, try to have your retention rate as high as 60 to 70%. So that way, when the tenant leaves, you don't have additional bills like cleanup, touch up paint, and all the other expenses that come with make ready. And then it stays for another 2-3 months before you get a tenant in. So that's the lost revenue. So we're trying to reduce the lost revenue. That's one of our strategies. And then amenities, we are doing a ton of tenant engagement. So that gives them, we're trying to provide a home-like environment, right? So, and then, you know, we have pizza parties, things like that. Come summer, we'll have pool parties, things like that, to keep residents happy. And happy residents and happy tenants means your economic occupancy will be higher. And reduce expenses is, as long as it doesn't affect operations of the property, we are trying to look at hard look at things, right? For example, we have budgeted for capital projects. Let's just say I'm going to do XYZ upgrades. Okay, so I'm spending, let's just say, $3,000 on an upgrade or a $10,000 on an upgrade. We are looking at ROI. What's our ROI? If it is 20 plus ROI, meaning if you're able to provide amenities, which is like upgrade of your fridge or appliances or your kitchen upgrade or your flooring upgrade, whatever case may be, you're spending X amount of dollars. What's your return on investment? Meaning how much higher you are able to increase rent. If you're not able to increase rent, in certain submarkets, you might not be able to increase rent. So even though you have given a good upgrade package to your tenant, certain submarkets, you may not be able to raise rent. And you look at your ROI and spend wisely. That's what we have done.
Yeah, got it. Thank you. So what do you see in the current market next 12 months or next 18 months? How exactly are you planning to, from acquiring point of view or, you know, renovations point of view or, you know, reselling, refinancing point of view?
We are definitely looking at refinancing in next 12 to 24 months. Some of our properties are in a floating rate. Of course, we bought a cap rate with an interest rate cap, but we are actively looking to refinance out of that and go into more stabilized fixed rate loans. Again, we are hoping that we'll get some kind of an interest rate break from Fred before going to do that. Certainly, we are looking at acquisitions. We are pivoting a little bit in terms of the asset class we are looking at, right? We are always, we started with C, C plus, B, B plus. Now we're only looking at core assets. With that class defined, the competition is very high. You know, you have institutional type of investors who want to invest in those type of properties. So having defined that, you'll have to work harder and harder because you'll have to put in 100 LOIs even to get one accepted. But that's just the nature of the game, right? So we have made a conscious decision that we will go with Class A apartments only. Because of, you know, Class E, the value add is not there anymore. In my opinion, it's not there. But hopefully things turn around or rent growths are justifiable where you can go in there and upgrade, put in all the capex and then get the rent hikes or whatever. But I haven't seen that. So we are especially looking at delinquency and tackling with delinquency itself. So we have just made a conscious decision just go with class A.
Yeah. So class A, which markets? Houston or any other markets?
So Texas and Florida, Texas, obviously, I personally believe that I like tier one markets, meaning like Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, Austin, right? Some people invest between Austin and San Antonio. That may be an exception there because that area is growing. But I would like to, because I don't like secondary or tertiary markets. It's because if there's one employer goes bankrupt, then that has a major impact to the city, right? So, and coming to Florida, I like anything from Tampa and up, going like Gainesville, Orlando, or Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I like down south too, but it just we can't. I can't afford. If
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
can afford in Miami, I would buy one. But those are crazy. I mean, they're going at what I believe like 700K a door or something like that. The last I heard. So those are for me at least is not affordable.
So, would you share any best experience so far?
Best experience is if you're looking to get into multifamily, first get educated. Follow somebody who's been there, done that. Go with them as a co-GP or something. First, learn, educate yourself, then learn, and then start investing. I mean, taking action. All the knowledge in one side, but not taking action does not result in any good outcome for you. So you have to jump in there. And, there are always, failures are part of success. So you're not going to be 100% successful, right? You'll have some failures, but you'll learn a lot, and then you keep succeeding,
Yeah, got it. Thank you. Would you also share any challenging experiences?
Yes, one of our properties, we had a huge decline in occupancy, and we were trying to figure out why we are having such a low occupancy, right? So one thing you want to do is to keep an eye on, even though it's a third party management, even though they say they are 90 plus occupancy in their portfolio, things like that. One thing you never take the eye out of the third party. So always stay on top of them. Always look sometimes two or three times a week. If you need to call the manager, need to do certain action or go sit in the property, do that. Because at the end of the day, we need to get the property to perform. So, but there are certain sub markets where all the parameters that you look at, whether it's been crime or income, household income, all those things, it looks good, but somehow you're not getting the occupancy. So get the right property manager in there. It's all about the property manager. Who runs the property, not the property management company, so to speak, right? So interview the property management manager properly and go from there.
Yeah. So any tips to find good property management company?
So we had a list of questions that we had prepared. What's your marketing strategy is like, right? Because remember, the people in property, they're trying to address the tenant issues, things like that, leasing, all the other activities, right? One of the things that you want to look at is this high-tech stuff that is coming into real estate. For example, you have leasing. It's done through automation. What I mean by that is you just scan this in this app, your ID, and it unlocks certain doors, and then you go in, take a virtual tour, and then, things like that. So it'll free up some of your property management tasks that your guys are doing. So these are the things we can add. And somebody from offshore can watch as this person is going through. Like, for example, there are cameras in the alleyway and then in the apartments. So some of the technology stuff that is coming around, we have to embrace that. Otherwise, we'll be left behind.
Okay,
So
got
that's something as a third party we always look for. And one of the key things that I emphasize on is look at your delinquency and look at your bad debt recovery. How well your property management company doing bad debt recovery, right? So those are the things you want to look at with the property management company, right? So, and in general experience, what they're experiencing about the area. For example, one of the properties that we had, our occupancy was low, whereas the other surrounding areas, they were high. Come to know that this property management company is not present in that sub-market, so things like that. So they may be good at some sub-market, they may not be as good at that some other sub-market, so things like that.
Yeah, got it. Thank you. Any habits that are helping you to be successful?
Habits, yes, a lot of people emphasize on goals. I believe that discipline leads to habits, habits leads to your goals. That's what I feel. So I'm adapting one new habit per month rather than goals. Of course, I do have goals, but I'm more concentrating on the habits. One of the habits is that I've taken on is to eat healthy now. So we'll see. Eat healthy and stay fit, because if you're healthy and stay fit, you'll be able to think properly and able to execute.
Yeah, more energy. Yep. Thank you. Any books that impacted your thinking?
One is James Clear, Atomic Habits. The other one is Walden. I don't know if you read his book. This guy spent about 13 years in jail. He's out at 40 plus, goes to college. And now he's part of Stephen Covey's, or used to be Stephen Covey's public speaking, this thing. So Walden, it's called Power of Positivity or Positivity Thinking is the name of the book. The other book is obviously Stephen Covey, right? Seven Habits. So yeah, I read books all the time. Right now I'm reading a book on AI. The other thing is I do have a small boutique software company called ORP Soft. So I'm also on a board where we're trying to raise money for that company. It's a cybersecurity coupled with AI. So I'm on that as well. So there are a lot of interesting things that are going on. So both as a so it's hard to keep technocrat out of technology. So, yeah.
Yeah, awesome. So how can listeners can connect with you, Raj?
They can go to LinkedIn, and my LinkedIn profile is Raj underscore Sarangam, or they can just look at Raj Sarangam. They can search for it and then they can connect, or they can go to my website. I have orpinvestments.com or orpsoftllc.com. They can connect me through there as well.
Awesome. And thank you very much, Raj. Thank you.
That's the end of this episode of Multifamily AP360, but we'd love to continue to help you on your journey. Head to ushacapital.com/podcast to join our email list for more tips and strategies. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. This is Multifamily AP360 with Ramakrishna Chunchu. We'll see you next time.